But once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time. By the grace of God, we've been bringing these messages to you for 19 years now. And we thank the Lord for that. We praise the Lord for this radio station, for the prayers, the support, and all of the good messages that He has given us over the years. And most of all, we thank the Lord for you, the listener. And we ask the Lord to bless you today. If this is your first time listening to this message, we invite you to come back each and every Sunday. And if you've been with us for many years, we thank you and invite you to continue to listen as we bring the good news of the message of the gospel to the nations through the internet and through Northwest Kansas through this radio station. And so we thank the Lord for this day. It's a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today we're going to be talking about rewards in heaven. And if you've been with us the last couple of weeks, we've talked about what happens to us after we die, life after death, eternal life after death. And so today we're going to be talking about the rewards in heaven. And also, if we get to it, we'll talk about the rewards for those who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It might be a motivation for you to make a decision here today. So we'll take up this message, turn to John chapter 14 in your Bible, John 14. Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. We'll get to this message on rewards in heaven here in just a minute. First, I want to give you a brief update what's going on in Kenya. As I spoke, the children are in school, and we have about five different schools that have taken our children in. Most of them go to a public Catholic school, which is near the children's home. And then we have a few in secondary school. They're in boarding situations. And then we also have about four students in disability school where they get specialized training, specialized teaching, and specialized care pertaining to their situation. And so keep those kids in your prayers. We are also praying about building a school. We have 1 acre of land next to the children's home, very nice acre. We're farming it now, but we want to build a school there. And then there's another acre right beside that that we'd like to purchase for a football field, the children a place to play when they're in school. And so we'll have 2 acres, and these 2 acres sit right between the church, the Living Water Church of Macunda, and the children's home. So it's a wonderful addition, would be a wonderful addition to the land that we already have. So pray about that. As you hear this message, pray that God will put the provision in our hand. We need about $6,000 to purchase that other acre, and then probably $100,000 to build a school. And so pray about that. And if you can't help, you can pray. If you can help, get in touch with me. The contact information is at the end of this broadcast, so we'd love to hear from you. So today we're going to be talking about rewards in heaven. And so for those of you who don't understand what is going to be coming your way when you die, after you die, the minute that you close your eyes here on this earth, take your last breath here on this earth, you're going to be escorted by the Lord's angels to your heavenly home. And if you are a born-again believer, there is no judgment according to salvation that occurs for you after you die. The judgment has been taken off of you when you accept Jesus Christ. When you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the judgment is taken off of you, and you will not face any judgment according to salvation after you die. You're escorted, your soul and your spirit are escorted to heaven by the angels. You will have a great reception in heaven as you walk in through the pearly gates, as they say, and you will meet Jesus. You will see Jesus walking on the streets of heaven. You'll be walking on streets of gold. You can read Revelation chapter 21 and chapter 22 to get a more precise, detailed description of heaven itself, but you will be there with all the saints. You will be there with all the family that have gone ahead of you, who have confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. There will not be anyone in heaven who does not know or has not confessed Jesus Christ. The condemned are going to be confined in a place we call hell or Sheol in the Old Testament. That's the place that the Lord created for the devil and his angels. And for those who refuse to confess Jesus, for those who refuse to be convicted by the Holy Spirit of their sin and confess their sin, that place of condemnation will be their eternal home. But for those who have accepted Jesus and confessed him and confessed their sin, they will be taken to heaven, and that will be their eternal home. They'll see Apostle Paul there. They'll see Moses there. All the Old Testament saints were led there by Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, we can see that story of how the saints were led up by Jesus after he was crucified. He went and preached to the Old Testament saints in hell, and he led them up captive. He took the captivity captive, and he led them up to their heavenly home. So when Jesus was talking to the disciples immediately before he was crucified and departed from them, he told them about mansions that he was going to be building, or that his angels would be building for them in heaven. And so this leads us to John chapter 14, verse 1. And in John 14, Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And in verse 2, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." And so in his Father's house, what he's talking about there is heaven itself. His Father's house is heaven. It's a great, great place. It's a magnificent place. It's a place that you can't even describe with human words. All the people who have visited heaven come back and say there's no human words that can adequately describe the fantastic attributes of heaven, the fantastic physical attributes of heaven. And so Jesus is saying, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you." And then shortly after that, Jesus was crucified, and that is where he is now. He is sitting at the right hand of God, and he is in heaven. You will see him when you get there. And in verse 3, Jesus said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself." Well, that's the description there, or reference to the second coming of Christ. He says, "I will come again and receive you to myself." It could also be a reference to the rapture, which I believe happens before the second coming of Christ. The rapture, Jesus doesn't actually come to the earth. He comes in the clouds with the voice of the archangel and a shout from heaven, and all of the saints that are in the graves, they rise up and they join Jesus in the air. Then those of us who are alive and remain will also be caught up with him, and we will all be taken to heaven at that time in the rapture. You can read about that 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, 17, and that is a description of the taking, or the catching away of the saints to their heavenly home. And so that could be what Jesus is referring to. He could also be referring to the second coming, Revelation chapter 20. So in verse 3, John 14, he says, "If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." And so Thomas, the doubting Thomas, the curious Thomas, then Thomas said to him, verse 5, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can you say, we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And so that's one of the great truths of the Bible. You should commit that to memory. You should commit that into your heart for all time. If you ever have any doubts about Jesus Christ, if you have any doubts about going to heaven, if you have any doubts about the way to heaven, or if you're trying to evangelize, talk to your children, talk to your family, or somebody you bump into at the hotel or the restaurant, you can say to them that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no other way to God than through Jesus Christ. Many people believe in God, most people believe in God, but a lot of people don't understand that the only way to God, to Jehovah God, the one true living God, Creator God, that the only way to God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. You have to confess Jesus Christ, you have to confess your sin, and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the way to God, that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through Him. Those are the words of Jesus Himself, and so He spoke it, we believe it, it is done, it is said, the Word of God is settled in heaven, and so because of that, we believe that Jesus is the way, and that separates the Christian faith from many religions. Many religions have concepts of God, speak of God, not just a single God, but many gods in some cases. But the Christian faith depends on your acknowledgement of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that He is the one and only way, the unique and exclusive way to get to the Father, to get to Jehovah God, the Creator of all things. And so that is what makes Christianity unique. That is what makes walking with Jesus an exhilarating and thrilling and unique experience. Jesus says that when we humble ourselves, He will exalt us. And when we humble ourselves, He will give us revelation, not only of Himself, but of Father God and the Holy Spirit and all the mysteries of the heavenly kingdom. So I'm going to read from a book here. It's called My Time in Heaven, A True Story of Dying and Coming Back. And the author is Richard Sigmund, S-I-G-M-U-N-D. And Richard Sigmund was a pastor in Texas. He was in a car accident down there in Texas, and he was declared dead, taken to the hospital, taken to the mortuary, was declared dead. And I'm sure you've all heard of what is called near-death experiences or after-death experiences. And many people saw the movie Heaven is for Real. A young boy up here in Nebraska that died went to heaven, saw members of his family up there. And he was only about 4 years old when this happened, 4 years old. And so there's many, many books and recorded instances of people going to heaven in the spirit, seeing the things of heaven, and then coming back. The Lord puts them back in their body, and they record their experiences so that other people can be encouraged about heaven, other people can be encouraged about their heavenly walk, and that heaven is a real place. Also, heaven is a real place just as hell is a real place. And so the Lord does this. The Lord is able to do this because He is the final arbiter. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the author and the finisher of our life. Jesus Christ said, I have authority over hell, death, and the grave. And so He can put people's spirits back in their body after they visited heaven, and people make testimonies, people give testimonies and give accounts of their time in heaven. And so this is Richard Sigmund. I invite you to read this book, get it on Amazon. Richard Sigmund, S-I-G-M-U-N-D, My Time in Heaven. He's talking about heavenly dwellings, just as the mansions that Jesus talked about were described by Jesus. And in verse, on page 37, chapter 5, Richard says, on this avenue, he's talking about an avenue in heaven, there were mansions beyond compare. I was told that they were for missionaries. Everything they'd given to the Lord. I believe that in heaven, God rewards everything that we can't receive here on earth. I do not know the names of those who lived on this street because I was not allowed to explore it, but I know that some of them had been modern-day missionaries. Some had just recently died, and there were large groups of people welcoming them at the Vale. I saw one coming who was dressed in a beautiful robe. One of the first things he did was to grab his clothes and say, "Oh, how beautiful, I am not in rags anymore." His robe was made of spun gold. Thousands of people were greeting him. The rewards of missionaries are great, and God loves missions-minded people. I was also taken to one house on the street in which I was walking. It was a single mansion carved out of a single gigantic pearl. The house seemed to be 250 to 300 feet across and 100 feet tall. The furniture inside had been formed by angels who had molded and carved the pearl into shape. Even the chandelier had been carved out of the pearl, and it was lit. It glowed from within. The house was made of pearl, belonged to a woman named Pearl, and the angels told me her story. She had been a missionary known for giving to the poor. Eventually, she had died of starvation. The house of Pearl was a reward for her pure heart. And there were many different kinds of houses on this street. It would be unbelievable to consider building them in any place but heaven. Well, I could go on and on reading from this book. It's an amazing account of Richard Sigmund's trip to heaven. But I just want to encourage you in that, in saying that the Lord, if you are a believer, if you are a born-again believer, you are going to be given a mansion in heaven. The angels are building it according to what you do here on the earth, the rewards that you acquire for yourself here on this earth. They will be stored up for you in heaven. And I'm going to read here from Matthew chapter 5 in verse 11. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus said, "Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And so when you suffer persecution for the gospel, understand this, that you're storing up treasures for yourself in heaven. Part of those treasures will be the mansion that's built for you, but there'll be other rewards for you. There'll be a soul winner's crown. There'll be crowns of glory. There'll be crowns for those who love Jesus appearing. There'll be crowns for those who bring people to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so when you do things for the kingdom of God, when you work for the kingdom and you bring people to the Lord, when you preach, when you pray, when you, anytime you do something that builds the kingdom of God, you're going to be storing up for yourself treasures in heaven. Verse 12, I'm going to read that again. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. He's talking about when you're persecuted. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Well, beloved, I've had a little taste of persecution over here in Kenya. Nothing great, but I can tell you about it someday. I'm not going to talk about it now. But we are ministering in a Muslim village here in West Kenya. There's a lot of persecution that goes with being in that village, but there's also great rewards. There's also great motivation to lead these people to the Lord. There's great motivation because these people are lost and you see their plight. Many of them trapped in witchcraft, many of them trapped in alcoholism. They are in a lot of ways very confused. And they don't understand because nobody has really ever explained the gospel message to them in detail. and with love for them, and so they just live in a state of confusion. They live in a state of chaos. They try their best to keep their life in order and keep their families fed and keep their shamba worked, but there's a lot of confusion and chaos in their life, and they don't understand why things aren't better for themselves. Well, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, Jesus also talks about treasures in heaven. He said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." Verse 20, "But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." Verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Or you could say it the converse of that. Where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. When your heart is set on Jesus, you're going to give your treasure into the kingdom. When your heart is set on Jesus, you're going to tithe. You're going to make offerings to the Lord. When your heart is set on Jesus, you're going to make sacrifices to Him. And when your heart is set on Jesus, your resources, your money, your time, all those things that the Lord has given to you, you're going to recognize and acknowledge that those things came from God, and that without God, you have nothing. Without God, you are nothing. And so you're going to give those things back into the kingdom, and you'll give them willingly and cheerfully. The Lord loves a cheerful giver, and you will give them cheerfully into the kingdom so the Lord can use them to further His kingdom here on this earth. Now, when He says, "Don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth," that's not a teaching against savings accounts. That's not a teaching against buying CDs or buying a piece of land as a haven to hold your money together. It's not a teaching against buying gold. God will give you wisdom how you can use your money here on earth to actually expand your money, multiply it, make it work for you, make it work for the kingdom. And so it also is not a teaching against hard work. God wants you to work hard. Prosperity here on the earth starts with hard work. Apostle Paul said, if you don't work, you can't eat, or you shouldn't eat. He said it's not good for people to be busybodies, to be freeloaders, to be sponging off of other people. And so this is an encouragement to work hard, but to lay up your treasures in heaven through your work for the kingdom. And you can make investments, and the investments multiply, and you have more money to give to missionaries. You have more money to give to your local church to support the pastors and the work of the church. You have more money to maybe start a ministry of your own. Maybe the Lord's speaking to you to start a ministry of your own. And so there are many ways God's resources can be used, but it starts with you acknowledging that everything you have comes from the Lord God Almighty. Everything He has put into your hand and will put into your hand comes from Him. Your very life, your salvation, the air you breathe comes from God. And so when you give back to Him and you give into the kingdom and you store those resources, those treasures up in heaven, then God will bless you. The mansion that you will have when you get to heaven after you die, that mansion will be great. And that mansion will be ready for you according to what you have done here on this earth. And last week we talked about the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10. And so we know that there will be a judgment for the believers, for the born-again believers, after they die. But again, it's not a judgment according to salvation. It's a judgment that is accorded to us, and it depends on the things that we have done. We will be judged for the things that we have done here on the earth in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." And so you're going to stand before Jesus. make an account of the things that you've done in the body. Make an account of the things that you've done with the resources that you've been given, the talents that you've been given, and the resources, the time that you have spent. And so that judgment seat of Christ is for the born-again believers, and it is for you to make an account of all the things that you have done in the body. Well, next week we're going to talk some more about individual rewards, crowns that may be coming your way according to your work. And so I hope you enjoy this message and look forward to preaching to you next week more about our time in heaven and what you can look forward to in your eternal life in heaven. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise the Lord for that all the many years, and we thank the Lord for the provision that he has put into our hand. I ask you to pray about your part in supporting this ministry, not only for the radio broadcast, but also for the mission that we have here in Africa to take the good news of the gospel to the Muslims and other people here in East Africa. I've preached crusades in six nations here in Africa over the years, and so we want to continue to do that. We'd like to hear from you today. Sit down, write us out a check, let us know you're listening, and give us a note of encouragement, and we will be blessed, you will be blessed, and the kingdom of God will be blessed. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.